This is Linda Abraham with Admission Straight Talk, Acceptance Admission Straight Talk. It is now the end of March as I'm recording this show, this segment, and we're hearing from happy round two applicants who've been accepted, and round three deadlines have either passed or are rapidly approaching, the majority of them. And it's time to turn our attention to 2015 applications, and those applications for people who intend to matriculate in 2015. And I'm going to focus today's episode on B-School applicants. Before I do so, I do want to highlight a couple of resources on accepted.com site that maybe have helped you. The first one is a webinar that I'm giving today, because this show should be up on the website on Thursday morning, morning before the actual webinar. And there will be some elements of the webinar that will overlap with the topic of today's podcast. And I'm going to focus now on ameliorating weaknesses in your MBA application, because that is something that you can do now. For more information on the topic, in addition to the webinar, in case you listen to this after the webinar, you can either go view the recording or you can buy my book, MBA Admission for Smarties, which is at www.mbaadmissionsforsmarties.com or on the accepted.com website. It's available in both locations. It's also available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle versions. So at this point in time, there are many of you are thinking about applying to B-School, or if you're not thinking about that, you're probably going to find the rest of the webinar kind of boring. And you should be evaluating your qualifications and determining if you are competitive for the schools that you are most interested in. In terms of how to choose schools, again, I refer you either to my book or to the webinar. But let's assume that you've chosen your schools and you're examining and you want to know if you're competitive. What should you look at? Well, there are four pillars of a successful application. The first one is academics, and academics, or academic ability specifically. Some schools call it intellectual curiosity, intellectual vigor. There's various terms that are used, but it usually boils down to what's upstairs, intellectual horsepower. And the way it is most commonly shown is through grades, your transcript, and test score. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two is work experience. And schools will be looking for a certain amount of work experience, quantity, and also quality of work experience. And quality means that you have progressed rapidly. You have been given and assumed responsibility. You've had a positive impact at your place of employment. You've made a difference, very simply. So you have one is academics, two is work experience. Three would be personal qualities. Leadership is probably the most important among them, but schools also want to see teamwork, organizational and analytical skills. Are you a contributor? Are you a giver? Are you going to participate in their community as you participated in your community in the past? And finally, the fourth pillar would be fit, culture, values. Have you demonstrated in your life to date the culture and values that the school ascribes to itself? And usually the schools that certainly recently have become very, very good about stating fairly clearly the values that they most identify with. So you have to be willing in your essays, in your application, in your interviews to show that you too share those values, not just mouth them, but share them in terms of your behavior, what you do, how you choose to spend your time. Now, what if you look at the schools you would like to go to and you look at your qualifications and you see some gaps between what the school wants and what you offer? Well, let's go through some of the things that you can do to improve, okay? So let's just assume for a moment that your GPA is not what makes you proud. Not even so much that it makes you proud or it doesn't make you proud. It isn't. It's more than, let's say, 0.2, 0.3 below the school's overall average. Well, you can do a few things. One, you can, in your application, when you get there, you should address the circumstances that contributed to the substandard performance with the eye of showing that those circumstances either no longer exist or that you have learned how to handle them so that they no longer influence your performance. That's for down the road. For now, late winter, spring, or it's spring now, actually. I just got back from the East Coast. Believe me, it's still winter back there, at least for this California that was winter back there. And now what you can do is take some classes, take business-related classes, or take classes in, if verbal was your weakness, then I would say take classes in writing for business communications, so that you show that you can, A, you're working on your weakness, you're preparing for business school, and B, that you can get A's even in an area that you're not so strong in, but that is important to business. So some recent A's can go a long way towards addressing concerns about an undergraduate GPA that was perhaps caused by, low grades that were caused by immaturity, or maybe because there was illness in the family, or you yourself got sick at some point, or there was some personal crisis. That whatever it is, you've matured, you've gotten over what was going on then, you've moved on, and you really do know how to perform in an academic environment to excel. What about the GMAT? Well, if you have a low GMAT, especially if your quant score is low and you don't have other evidence of quant abilities, the best thing to do is to retake. That is the best way to handle a low GMAT score. Schools take the highest GMAT, and if you think you can raise it, you have the time to raise it, that's what you should be doing now. If you're not sure if you should retake or if you've taken the GMAT 3 or more times, please see the blog post at blog.accept.com. There is a search box there, and it should, in the post is entitled, Should You Retake the GMAT? Because it's, we lay out pretty clearly who should retake, who shouldn't retake. So that's pillar number one, academics, specifically focused on grades and GMAT score. Another thing that you can do, by the way, just before I move on, to ameliorate low grades or a low GMAT, though again, this is more relevant to grades, is to pass an exam like a CFA exam. And actually, Rotman, if you've passed all three levels of the CFA, then you can have the GMAT waived. So the CFA and CPA and similar exams are definitely considered evidence of that intellectual horsepower. So just keep that in mind. Especially if they're relevant to your goals. I wouldn't go out and take the CFA if you have no interest in finance. Work experience. All right. I indicated before there's a quantitative and a qualitative aspect to work experience. Quantity. If you don't have too much, the sweet spot is 3 to 6 years. If you're 2 to 8 is okay on the margins. If you're under 2, one thing that you can do is wait. Wait a year and then apply when you have 2 or more years of work experience. And then I'm talking now about years of work experience at matriculation. However, if you don't want to wait, what you need to do is target more schools that have lower ages at matriculation and also work in your application and presenting yourself as somebody who has accomplished more in these 2 years or this year plus than others do in 3 or 4 years. In other words, you're basically a superstar. You've gone farther faster than most people typically do. If, on the other hand, the other thing you may want to do, especially if you have, if you're still a senior in college or if you have less than 1 year of work experience, and you could even do this now, is consider applying to an MS in management program like that offered at Duke or London Business School. And I believe Michigan Ross is also starting one of those programs very soon. On the other hand, if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you have too much work experience, basically 8 or more years, then you want to aim for programs with higher ages at matriculation. IMD, INSEAD, probably around 30, 31 at matriculation. I think Kellogg is 29. Tuck, I think, also is in that range. And those schools, obviously, are going to be a little bit friendlier to older applicants than a school that has, let's say, an average age at 26. So keep that in mind. You may also want to consider an EMBA program or a Sloan's Fellows program if you have 10-plus years of experience, or perhaps the MSX program at Stanford. In terms of your application, you have to be extra clear about why you want an MBA. Given your level of experience, what's it going to do for you? And how are you going to get a job given your level of experience? Because the Career Placement Centers for the class of 2-year MBA program is very much geared towards people with 4 to 6 years of work experience pre-matriculation. So are you going to be relying on that career center, or do you have the contacts, perhaps a job offer when you return, a family business, something along those lines that would enable you to get a job without relying specifically on the career center on campus? If you don't have an international component in your job profile and you have the opportunity to get to add an international component to your work experience at this point in time, by all means do so. That would also enhance your profile. Personal qualities. Okay, the personal qualities, again, that business schools are most interested in. Leadership is way up on top. It's the uber quality of MBA admissions, and it's the one that you really, really have to demonstrate for any elite MBA program. So what if you are in a fairly flat organization and you're also fairly junior in that organization? Then I would suggest trying to take on leadership roles off the job. But if you can take on leadership responsibility, mentoring a junior employee, perhaps becoming a team lead, that would be fantastic in the next 6 months. It frequently is not so easy to do at work, and it is easier, as I indicated a minute ago, to assume leadership roles in a volunteer capacity. That's great. And doing so also allows you to show that you will be a contributor to your campus community, because remember, business schools strongly feel that student participation makes the program, and they want to know that you've been involved in your community previously in order to believe that you'll be involved in your community on campus and as an alumnus. So there's two reasons, really, to get involved, make a community service commitment. You don't have to make 100 commitments or 10 commitments or 5 commitments. I would say try one commitment. And I wouldn't worry that you haven't been doing it lately. I would just get started. And what you want to do is assume responsibilities for something that reflects your values, that you will enjoy, and that will, again, allow you to show the leadership, organizational, and communication skills that business schools value. So these are a few of the things that you can do to ameliorate weaknesses in your academic profile. I hope this has been helpful to you. And again, if you want more information, please attend the webinar tonight, or review the webinar online, or by MBA Admission for Smarties. This is Linda Abraham with Admission Straight Talk. Thank you very much for listening, and I will look forward to talking to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.